Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with Sandy Williams. Sandy, here's an issue. The money is gone. Evacuated Ukrainians are forced to return to the Donbas region because they can't afford to live in these other nations and in the safer places. And nobody's talking about that right now. The people thought that once they, you know, moved across the border, there would be financial support. And maybe, Sandy, that's kind of what some of those, you know, the resources that you've been asking about, maybe that's where that has gone, to help people as they've moved across the border into different nations that our nation was then basically helping to support them financially or economically. And nobody can do that forever when you're talking about the millions and millions of people who have been displaced. What nation can afford to deal with that?
Well, maybe that's where the money was supposed to go. If the money was there, they wouldn't be having the problem.
Right.
I'm not aware that we were sending money for refugee relief. I do think the countries they were going to were promising some degree of refugee relief. Refugees are an expensive undertaking.
Right.
And people who are refugees have to be ready, I guess, to accept a very much a substandard level of living for a while. In the United States, when we've accommodated refugees, we tend to send them to communities all over the country, and the communities tend to have done a very good job of absorbing them, Wisconsin being one of the prime examples of places that have successfully absorbed numbers of Ukrainians, numbers of Afghanis. The refugees tend to be treated well when they come to Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmong. We have a big Hmong population as a result of the refugee status.
Yeah.
But refugees are a problem, and the countries that receive them need to accommodate them, and the expectations of the refugees need to be realistic.
You know, Sandy, when you're talking about Ukraine, you're talking about millions and millions, and very few nations can accommodate a million people coming in, right? I mean, you talk about, and we're talking about the global recession that we know is coming and all of those different things. It adds to a difficult time for those refugees. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, millions of refugees is almost an impossibility to accommodate and provide comfortable accommodations and standards of living that will reach expectations of meeting the standards that the refugees had from the country from which they left. And one of the issues, Ukraine was as prosperous a country as Russia. And so these refugees would hope for a standard of living that would be comparable. It's not comparable to the U.S. standard of living, but it was a comfortable and sustainable lifestyle. And that's something that the countries will be hard-pressed to provide to them when they come in numbers of millions.
So Sandy, looking ahead, because at some point in time this conflict is going to end, right now there are over 800 billion dollars to replace and to rebuild Ukraine, and you know those things don't come overnight. And then when people come, I mean, this is a long slog. You know, no telling how many decades it's going to take for this thing to happen. And so, you know, these people, for the most part, I've seen war before, and many of them can, you know, withstand it. But, man, we as American citizens really don't know what it's like. We've never had that kind of carnage on our shores, and we're very fortunate, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Ukrainians experienced war, really, it's quite a long time ago now. World War II was the last time they experienced actual warfare. But they did experience terrible economic times. The time of the collapse of the Soviet Union brought, in the 1990s, it was a depression deeper than the Great Depression in the United States that was experienced throughout the USSR. I mean, the United States was too busy sort of doing its victory lap about the collapse of the USSR and the so-called victory in the Cold War, and we really ignored the plight of the citizens of the old USSR in what happened, because there was a total governmental vacuum, and there was a total economic chaos and collapse in what was the old USSR. So, yes, Ukrainians have, in modern day, experienced very difficult economic times, but not warfare, not the kind of stuff that has led to massive refugee movements. And how the infrastructure of Ukraine gets rebuilt after this war will depend upon the outcome of the war. I mean, if Russia ends up carrying this war all the way to the point of vanquishing the government of Ukraine and taking over in either directly or indirectly the government of Ukraine, I think that the West will probably not run forward to finance the rebuilding of Ukraine. And therefore, the rebuilding of it will be subject to the appetite of Russia to support. And Russia has a limited appetite. They have trouble supporting the rebuilding of all of their country. And you know, Moscow and St. Petersburg are sort of the Potemkin villages in Russia, and the rest of Russia is not sustaining that same standard of living. So if the outcome of the war is that, then the plight of Ukraine is indeed going to be severe, and its infrastructure will take a long time to rebuild. If it is different than that, it's a negotiated settlement, and the West remains importantly interested in Ukraine, then it's going to take a great deal of Western money invested in Ukraine to build it back.
You know, Sandy, and the worst part about all of it is these other NATO, it's not like NATO is in a position economically themselves to be able to invest that those kinds of resources, because they, like our nation, is looking at you know, using a different mode of getting away from fossil fuel at some point in time, and so they've got to modernize their own nations. This is really just, and most of those people who struggled before in Ukraine, Sandy, those people are all gone. This is another whole group of people who, even though they are pretty gritty people, you know, have to go through and overcome all of this. And, you know, we can talk about whether or not, you know, Russia has done all the wrong things in this, and this war is you know, and Ukraine is fighting back. Really, we keep getting all these encouraging signs of how Ukraine is doing damage. You know, they're not doing any damage to the Russian homeland, right? I mean, it's all said and done. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I mean, the United States and the NATO nations are being careful not to provide Ukraine with the capability of actually doing physical damage and attacking Russia per se. There have been several rockets fired, to munitions and the refinery in near Rostov, a munitions area in Volgograd. But mostly, we are trying to provide aid to Ukraine of the sort that will allow Ukrainians to defend themselves within Ukraine and potentially, as I've said, fight to the last Ukrainian in their defense of the country against the Russian invasion. We are not interested in exciting Russia into a direct conflict. And all of our discussions of weaponry that we're willing to send to Ukraine is discussed within the context of making sure we don't escalate the battle up to that point, which again gets me to the same point, which is that the ultimate outcome of this war is going to be determined by that level of restraint on the part of aid to Ukraine. And it's because Ukraine is not critically significant. With respect to the rebuilding of Ukraine, it's not going to come so much from nations as it will come from independent investors, much the way Western investment flowed into Russia at the time of the opening of Russia after the collapse of the USSR. And the rebuilding of Ukraine could happen to the extent that Western businesses decide that Ukraine offers business opportunities to it. The entry of Ukraine into the EU, were that to happen when this conflict ends, could pave the way for substantial Western investment, private investment in Ukraine, which might help it build itself out of the terrible infrastructure problem the war is creating.
Hey, Sandy, great stuff, man, as always. Really, really appreciate it. We'll reconnect on this Friday. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you.
You got it, Earl.
Yeah. Man, help me out, man.
It starts with a
Connor.
C. There
Connor.
You go.
All right. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuning in to the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.